All of the major news stories made simple and easy for your listening pleasure. We'll break it down for you in keywords for the segment. We're joined by Adam. Good morning.
Good morning, Lena. You're looking very festive in that studio with all the wreaths and the trees and the stuff.
And the stuff. What other stuff do I don't know. Am I surrounded by garbage?
I'm not good with the words.
That is most unfortunate because you have to use your words to deliver your news, right? But let us then ease Adam into the segment. Seasonal drinks, it gets a lot of love. Yeah. Maybe it just puts us in the mood or warmth is required during these cold winter season. Is there a specifically British winter drink that kind of, you know, you miss or
not really?
No, nothing.
No,
because you know, I do believe things like pumpkin spice latte and eggnog.
Yeah,
these are kind of inherently American.
Yeah,
aren't they?
I've never had eggnog before. I don't know. Is it actually made out of egg?
It turns out it is. Okay. I learned for the first time yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Our writer Claudia informed me. It's a pretty, I think, delicate process of mixing warm milk with egg yolk slowly so that it doesn't turn into like into use her or scramble. Egg floating on milk.
That sounds very
disgusting.
Yeah,
but, and a lot of sugar and spice.
Okay,
and then you can spike it with liquor too if that's your thing.
Must be a very delicate process if you don't want it to curdle. And,
yeah,
you
know, right. There's look who cooks. I do not cook.
Yeah. Have you? So you never tried eggnog before?
Yeah. So it's
really?
Not even it's not even like a must if you grew up in the States. It's just there.
I don't think there's like a British festive drink as such. Mm-hmm. I think in Britain, everyone just drinks the same thing all year round, which is like tea, beer, whiskey, and wine.
But that's like the rest of the world.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's any specific festive drink. I might be wrong on that. It might just be me that's
not a big
unaware
fan
of it. But
that's fine.
Yeah, I don't think there is. There's a lot of festive foods.
Ooh.
Probably like in the US as well. Mm. Turkey, one. Yeah.
Ham. I don't
Brussels
know why.
Sprouts.
Is Brussels sprouts?
It's a festive thing. Don't ask me why.
I'm so confused.
Yeah. Christmas pudding as well.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
I forget
lovely.
The others.
He's been in Korea a lot longer.
Been in Korea too long.
The thing is, there are seasonal drinks. I think they're really unique to different cultures. So please, everyone, do carry on the conversation online. It's so funny. People are like, eggnog is gross. I love eggnog. It's still divided.
It's one of those divisive things.
It turns out
it's like
it
Marmite
is.
In England. Have you heard of Marmite? Vegemite? Marmite?
Oh, I have.
Yeah.
That's tricky, my friend.
In the UK, it's called Marmite. And their ad actually says you either love it or hate it. So it's accepted that concept.
All right, guys. Yeah. So carry on with this conversation. I think Adam is all warmed up. He's using his words. So let's jump into keyword news, shall we? This is where we clarify some of the major headlines for you. This is our first pick of the day.
Securing hospital beds.
As Korea suffers a shortage of hospital beds for COVID-19 patients, of course, the government has to intervene. They've been trying to secure more beds. Then what are some of the measures now being put in place?
Yeah, so let's look at the ICU occupancy rate. It's about 80% nationwide, but it's in the mid-80% range for the capital region. And it turns out there are 210 COVID-19 patients who have been in hospital lying on these beds for more than 21 days and who actually don't need any treatment anymore. And so the government has ordered these people to move to another ward or hospital completely to free up the beds. Now, COVID patients who spend more than 20 days in ICU beds and no longer need treatment will be mandated to move to a general ward or another hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Those who refuse actually may be fined, plus will have to pay for the medical expenses themselves. Mm. A certain amount is shouldered by the government. Now, the only exceptions, of course, will be for those who still actually need the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a task force that has been set up to tackle this whole hospital bed issue will hold its first meeting tomorrow. It is comprised of relevant government ministries and civilian experts, and they'll, of course, discuss what measures need to be taken. And it will hold a meeting once a week from tomorrow, and maybe more if the situation calls for it.
Okay, so there's an emergency task force, if you will, to specifically tackle the hospital bed issue to secure more beds for COVID-19 patients, essentially.
That's right.
All right, on to our second keyword of the day.
Antiviral pill authorized.
The US FDA has approved the first antiviral pill to treat COVID-19 patients at home. Of course, as we mentioned several times on the program, it's not about, you know, replacing vaccines ever, but about being of aid. What's the latest?
Yeah, that's a good point. You can liken it to the flu vaccine. There's medicines or oral pills for flu and cold symptoms, but the vaccines are still there. And it's the same case with COVID-19. But this pill in question is called Paxlovid. It's made by Pfizer, and it reduced the risk of severe disease by nearly 90% in clinical trials and appeared to be safe. And it's taken as a pill soon after COVID-19 symptoms start, and it's intended for people at high risk of severe disease. It's taken twice a day for 5 days in combination with a second medicine called ritonavir, which is a generic antiviral. An FDA official said this is a major step forward in the fight against the pandemic, especially as new variants emerge, of course, with Omicron emerging now as well. Now, although it's not certain, Paxlovid's efficacy is unlikely to be reduced in treating people infected with the Omicron variant. The US government has a contract with Pfizer to buy 10 million courses of the treatment. But initial supplies of Paxlovid actually may be a bit limited. Pfizer said it will have 180,000 courses of treatment ready by the end of the year. The FDA is also weighing a COVID-19 pill from Merck and Ridgeback Biotherapeutics. Merck says it will have 10 million packs available by the end of the month, so it seems that they have enough supply ready. But the effectiveness of the Merck COVID-19 pill, known as Molnupiravir, may make it less attractive.
The efficacy is slightly lower, I'm assuming?
That's right. So initial studies said that it reduced the risk of hospitalization or death by half, but in a final study analysis, it showed only a 30% reduction in hospitalization or death.
Does the Omicron variant actually affect that analysis, you think?
I don't know. I don't know the details of it, but there hasn't been any word on that. But just as a whole, 30% doesn't sound that appealing. So it remains to be seen if there's any improvements that can be made on that. Meanwhile, here in Korea, the Korea's Drug Safety Agency has also begun reviewing the emergency authorization of Paxlovid. So who knows? We may see it in Korean shelves as well.
Next year, that is.
Next year, yeah.
All right, we'll have to wait for that cue. Moving on to our third keyword of the day.
New Consumer Price Index.
So Statistics Korea has released Korea's newly adjusted Consumer Price Index, reflecting the changes in consumer habits from year 2015 to 2020. It's much more comprehensive, I would say. Are there clear consumer patterns that are evident? So what did it show exactly?
Yeah, so with the newly adjusted time frame, the CPI inflation for January to November came to 2.4%. That's up 1 percentage point from the previous version. Now, the country updates the items included in its CPI every 5 years to reflect, of course, changing consumption patterns, like the shift to e-commerce, for example. There's a lot of online purchases being made now than compared to 5 years ago, especially during the pandemic as well. Several new goods and services that have been purchased by households over the past 5 years have made it into the latest CPI basket of goods and services. That includes home appliances like dryers for clothes and dishwashers.
For the dishes?
dryers, no, for clothes. So dryers, right?
Did that need clarification? I'm confused why we're dwelling on this. But home appliances, we bought more of it, yes.
I think that, not one. I don't know why I thought there was a dryer for dishes for some reason. But
there's a drying rack for dishes.
There's a drying rack for, that's the one.
And that feels a little outdated in the age of dryers and dishwashers, where we just basically want the machines to do a little bit more work around the homes, right?
A lot more houses in Korea are putting in both the washing machine and the dryer on top of each other.
Actually, that's a big change in the last just decade or so. I mean, my parents' generation, for example, it was all about massive electricity bills, so we're not going to use the dryers. But we've shifted. We're busier maybe too.
Yeah, and there's a lot of more products out there for dryers as well. Dishwashers as well. A lot more houses are getting dishwashers, and I think people are just getting lazy nowadays.
Or to put a positive spin on it, are we just busier and we just need to rely a little bit on these gadgets that are better in quality too? Moving on.
But anyway, other items include electric vehicles, of course, because they are becoming more prominent now. masks as well because of the pandemic, and probably, possibly, fingers crossed, hopefully not, but future pandemics as well, and viruses, they've also been added, as well as fruits like avocados, cherries, and mangoes as
well. It's funny because majority of that was imported for the longest time. Right. We're growing some mangoes on Jeju-do Island, but I think for the most part, these are imports.
That's right. But it seems that their popularity has also grown as well. On the other hand, though, tuition for high school students has been taken off the list, with public education for high schools being free from 2021. School uniforms, neckties, printers, and B-days have also been eliminated.
That's really interesting. Why did you group them all into one?
I don't know. Just to shorten the number of sentences. Those are some of the items that have also been eliminated, and there have been some adjustments in the weight of other items as well, such as online contents, usage fees, and medical fees as well.
Contents fees being, they're just more competition,
right? Chunse has also been given more weight as well into these CPI stats. Mobile usage fees and private school tuition have also been given less weight. Almost a quarter of the items on the list reflect their online prices. And Statistics Korea says the removal of some items that pull down the overall CPI, like high school tuition fees, led to this increase, slight increase in the CPI after the latest adjustment.
All right, moving on to our fourth keyword of the day.
Nurturing energy sector.
So the Korean government has laid out more plans to nurture the energy sector as part of its goal to go carbon neutral. This includes increasing manpower, right? What's the latest?
Yeah, so you can increase all this infrastructure and all these facilities, but you need people to man them, of course.
Until we create robots to do the work for us.
Hopefully not, but not too much of that. But but you still need people to do some of these jobs. And the government has laid out a roadmap to train 8,000 workers in the energy field by the year 2025. This includes 3,000 researchers and 5,000 professional field workers. Now, the government hopes to have a total of some 20,000 professionals trained by the year 2030. More than 230 billion won will be invested in the project next year as well, and a large chunk of that will be used to convert industrial infrastructure. And the country will also be expanding its training infrastructure as well. So a lot of money is being poured in from next year to make sure that this goal is achieved. Also, currently there are 5 energy innovation institutes in Korea, but the government hopes that the number will double to 10 by the year 2025. The government also hopes to triple the number of graduate schools that teach related courses from 5 to 15. For example, at the Korea Polytechnics University, new majors will be added related to eco-friendliness and low carbon as well. Korea used to hold job fairs for workers in the energy field once every 2 years. But starting next year, that will change. They'll be held twice a year in April and October, of course, to provide more opportunities to these energy workers.
I mean, these industries are of the future, and we're highly dependent on these industries to thrive, right? Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that they're prioritizing it. Mm-hmm. It may also mean that more job opportunities for the next generation of workers, right? On to our fifth keyword of the day.
Salary increase.
Who? Where? Not us.
Yeah.
Recent government data shows that the nation's average salaries have increased and more people falling under the high income bracket. But as these studies go, you have to look at the specifics as what it actually implies. Mm. Run us through the figures.
Yeah, I can't relate to this story, unfortunately. But it apparently is happening.
Sure.
According to the National Tax Service, anyway. And its data shows that last year, the average salary of office workers was just under 38.3 million. That's just a 2.2% on-year increase. But those earning more than 100 million won a year, this psychologically, but that's kind of, you know, that threshold.
Important marker, you think?
Important
the 6
marker
digits?
Of IROP, you know, the 100 million won mark. That number surpassed 900,000 or 920,000 to be exact. That's 7.5% more than the previous year. So it seems that a lot more people are getting more higher
paychecks.
Salaries. Also, the number of people who have been seeing a boom in assets such as stocks and real estate also rose
you
as
well. You have to put like 4 stars next to that. I feel like that also affects the overall. I mean, right. people with passive income that have done a little bit better in the eyes of the pandemic.
Right.
And also those who are making a lot more on the top end. So the average in turn will, of course, be heightened.
Yeah. So, of course, those running in the lower or middle income bracket aren't really moving that much. But
are you
course,
putting us in the lower and middle?
I certainly consider myself in that. But the upper bracket is the one where there's the most fluctuation and increase, if you will.
Sure.
Now, if you break down the cities or regions, Sejong City actually saw the most rise in salaries, followed by Seoul and then Ulsan. Now, this is interesting because Ulsan is known as a manufacturing city and predominantly had the most paid people there.
Right, right.
And it also always beat Sejong in terms of salary up until 2018. But it seems that the salaries of public workers, Sejong City being, you know, a city where a lot of government workers are located, Ulsan has overtaken, I mean, sorry, Sejong has overtaken at that place. And so it seems that public workers are being paid a bit more than manufacturers. Seoul was also behind Ulsan, in fact, but now it's in second place as well. So, but that's probably due to a decrease in manufacturing, especially during the pandemic as well. Now, the number of foreign workers decreased last year by 7% compared to the year before, but their salaries have actually also risen 8.2% to an average of just under 30 million won.
And rather quickly, moving on to our last story of the day.
We are running out of time. Food waste.
We're not trying to rush you, but we are running out of time. Something that is potentially slowing Korea's goal of becoming greener is a vast amount of food waste that is produced. That's despite food waste bags being kind of expensive. Recent data shows the amount is increasing. So what's the latest?
Yes, according to the Korea Environment Institute, food waste came in at more than 14,000 tons in 2019. That's 4.5% more compared to the 10 years ago in 2009. Now, it's a 26.4% increase if you include food waste coming from the food manufacturing companies as well. Now, interestingly, this is a global concern as well. The Worldwide Fund for Nature said in August that the world throws away about 2.5 billion tons of uneaten food each year. And that's why the WWF says about 8% of man-made greenhouse gases are from this food waste as well. That's why there are many calls efforts to reduce food waste as well. And Korea food waste is a very big problem.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much.
Sorry if it took so long.
It's fine. We'll do it all over again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
See you then. If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.